Stopping. That was the next thing. They had struck a firm stretch of beach. Eddie pushed the chair along faster, thinking vaguely that if he could keep this bit of extra speed, he might be able to drive right through the next sand trap he happened to strike on pure impetus. All at once, the chair stopped. Stopped dead. The crossbar on the back hit Eddie's chest with a thump. He grunted. Roland looked around, but not even the gunslinger's cat-quick reflexes could stop the lady's chair from going over exactly as it had threatened to do in each of the sand traps. It went, and Detta went with it, tied and helpless, but cackling wildly. She still was when Roland and Eddie finally managed to right the chair again. Some of the ropes had drawn so tight they must be cutting cruelly into her flesh, cutting off the circulation to her extremities. Her forehead was slashed, and blood trickled into her eyebrows. She went on cackling just the same. The men were both gasping, out of breath, by the time the chair was on its wheels again. The combined weight of it and the woman in it must have totaled 250 pounds, most of it chair. It occurred to Eddie that if the gunslinger had snatched Detta from his own when, 1987, the chair might have weighed as much as 60 pounds less. Detta giggled, snorted, blinked blood out of her eyes.
"Look here, you boys done upset me," she said. "Call your lawyer," Eddie muttered. "Sue us. And got yourselves all tuckered out getting me back on top again. Must have taken you 10 minutes, too."
The gunslinger took a piece of his shirt, enough of it was gone now, so the rest didn't much matter, and reached forward with his left hand to mop the blood away from the cut on her forehead. She snapped at him, and from the savage click those teeth made when they came together, Eddie thought that if Roland had only been one instant slower in drawing back, Detta Walker would have evened up the number of fingers on his hands for him again. She cackled and stared at him with meanly merry eyes, but the gunslinger saw fear hidden far back in those eyes. She was afraid of him. Afraid because he was the really bad man. Why was he the really bad man? Maybe because on some deeper level she sensed what he knew about her.
"Almost got you, Gray Meat," she said. "Almost got you that time."
And cackled, witch-like. "Hold her head," the gunslinger said evenly. "She bites like a weasel." Eddie held it while the gunslinger carefully wiped the wound clean. It wasn't wide and didn't look deep, but the gunslinger took no chances. He walked slowly down to the water, soaked the piece of shirting in the salt water, and then came back. She began to scream as he approached.
"Don't you be touching me with that thing! Don't you be touching me with no water from where them poison things come from! Get it away! Get it away!"
"Hold her head," Roland said in the same even voice. She was whipping it from side to side. "I don't want to take any chances." Eddie held it and squeezed it when she tried to shake free. She saw he meant business and immediately became still, showing no more fear of the damp rag. It had been only sham after all. She smiled at Roland as he bathed the cut, carefully washing out the last clinging particles of grit.
"In fact, you look mauled and just tuck it out," Detta observed. "You look sick, Gray Meat. I don't think you're ready for no long trip. I don't think you're ready for nothing like that."
Eddie examined the chair's rudimentary controls. It had an emergency handbrake, which locked both wheels. Detta had worked her right hand over there, had waited patiently until she thought Eddie was going fast enough, and then she had yanked the brake, purposely spilling herself over. Why? To slow them down, that was all. There was no reason to do such a thing. But a woman like Detta, Eddie thought, needed no reasons. A woman like Detta was perfectly willing to do such things out of sheer meanness. Roland loosened her bonds a bit so the blood could flow more freely, then tied her hand firmly away from the brake.
"That be all right, Mr. Man," Detta said, offering him a bright smile filled with too many teeth. "That'd be all right, just the same. There'd be other ways to slow you boys down, all sorts of ways."
"Let's go," the gunslinger said tonelessly.
"You all right, man?"
Eddie asked. The gunslinger looked very pale. "Yes, let's go." They started up the beach again. 10. The gunslinger insisted on pushing for an hour, and Eddie gave way to him reluctantly. Roland got her through the first sand trap, but Eddie had to pitch in and help get the wheelchair out of the second. The gunslinger was gasping for air, sweat standing out on his forehead in large beads. Eddie let him go on a little further, and Roland was quite adept at weaving his way around the places where the sand was loose enough to bog the wheels, but the chair finally became mired again, and Eddie could only bear a few moments of watching Roland struggle to push it free, gasping, chest heaving, while the witch, for so Eddie had come to think of her, howled with laughter and actually threw her body backwards in the chair to make the task that much more difficult. And then he shouldered the gunslinger aside and heaved the chair out of the sand with one angry, lurching lunge. The chair tottered, and now he saw, sensed her shifting forward as much as the ropes would allow, doing this with a weird prescience at the exactly proper moment, trying to topple herself again. Roland threw his weight on the back of the chair next to Eddie's, and it settled back. Detta looked around and gave them a wink of such obscene conspiracy that Eddie felt his arms crawl up in goose flesh.
"You almost upset me again, boys," she said. "You want to look out for me now. Ain't nothing but an old cripple lady, so you won't have a care for me now."
She laughed, laughed fit to split. Although Eddie cared for the woman that was the other part of her, was near to loving her just on the basis of the brief time he had seen her and spoken with her, he felt his hands itch to close around her windpipe and choke that laugh, choke it until she could never laugh again. She peered around again, saw what he was thinking as if it had been printed on him in red ink, and laughed all the harder. Her eyes dared him.
"Go on, Graymeat, go on. You want to do it, go on and do it."
In other words, don't just tip the chair, tip the woman, Eddie thought. Tip her over for good. That's what she wants. For Detta, being killed by a white man, may be the only real goal she has in life. "Come on," he said, and began pushing again. "We are going to tour the seacoast, sweet thing, like it or not."
"Fuck you,"
she spat. "Cram it, babe," Eddie responded pleasantly. The gunslinger walked beside him, head down. 11. They came to a considerable outcropping of rocks when the sun said it was about 11, and here they stopped for nearly an hour, taking the shade as the sun climbed toward the roof peak of the day. Eddie and the gunslinger ate leftovers from the previous night's kill. Eddie offered a portion to Detta, who again refused, telling him she knew what they wanted to do, and if they wanted to do it, they'd best to do it with their bare hands and stop trying to poison her. That, she said, was the coward's way. "Eddie's right," the gunslinger mused. "This woman has made her own chain of memories. She knows everything that happened to her last night, even though she was really fast asleep. She believed they had brought her pieces of meat which smelled of death and putrescence, had taunted her with it while they themselves ate salted beef and drank some sort of beer from flasks. She believed they had, every now and then, held pieces of their own untainted supper out to her, drawing it away at the last moment when she snatched at it with her teeth, and laughing while they did it, of course. In the world, or at least in the mind, of Detta Walker, Honk Malfas only did two things to brown women: raped them, or laughed at them, or both at the same time. It was almost funny. Eddie Dean had last seen beef during his ride in the sky carriage, and Roland had seen none since the last of his jerky was eaten. Gods alone knew how long ago. As far as beer, he cast his mind back. Tull. There had been beer in Tull, beer and beef. God, it would be good to have a beer. His throat ached, and it would be so good to have a beer to cool that ache. Better even than the Astin from Eddie's world. They drew off a distance from her.
"Ain't I good enough company for white boys like you?" she cawed after them. "Or did you just maybe want to have a pull on each other one's little bitty white candle?"
She threw her head back and screamed laughter that frightened the gulls up crying from the rocks where they had been met in convention a quarter of a mile away. The gunslinger sat with his hands dangling between his knees, thinking. Finally he raised his head and told Eddie, "I can only understand about one word in every 10 she says."
"Well, I'm way ahead of you," Eddie replied. "I'm getting at least 2 in every 3. Doesn't matter. Most of it comes back to Honky Muffa."
Roland nodded. "Do many of the dark-skinned people talk that way where you come from? Her other didn't." Eddie shook his head and laughed. "No. And I'll tell you something sort of funny. At least I think it's sort of funny, but maybe that's just because there isn't all that much to laugh at out here. It's not real. It's not real, and she doesn't even know it." Roland looked at him and said nothing. "Remember when you washed off her forehead, how she pretended she was scared of the water?" "Yes." "You knew she was pretending?" "Not at first, but quite soon." Eddie nodded. "That was an act, and she knew it was an act. But she's a pretty good actress, and she fooled both of us for a few seconds. The way she's talking is an act, too. But it's not as good. It's so stupid, so goddamn hokey." "You believe she pretends well only when she knows she's doing it?" "Yes. She sounds like a cross between the darkies and this book called Mandingo I read once, and Butterfly McQueen and Gone with the Wind. I know you don't know those names, but what I mean is she talks like a cliché. Do you know that word?"
"It means what is always said or believed by people who think only a little or not at all."
"Yeah. I couldn't have said it half so good."
"Ain't you boys done jerking on them candles of yours yet?"
Daddy's voice was growing hoarse and cracked.
"Or maybe it's just you can't find them. That it?"
"Come on." The gunslinger got slowly to his feet. He swayed for a moment, saw Eddie looking at him, and smiled. "I'll be all right."
"For how long?"
"As long as I have to be," the gunslinger answered, and the serenity in his voice chilled Eddie's heart. 12. That night, the gunslinger used his last sure live cartridge to make their kill. He would start systematically testing the ones he believed to be duds tomorrow night, but he believed it was pretty much as Eddie had said. They were down to beating the damned things to death. It was like the other nights, the fire, the cooking, the shelling, the eating which was now slow and unenthusiastic. "We're just gassing up," Eddie thought. They offered food to Detta, who screamed and laughed and cursed and asked how long they was going to take her for a fool. And then she began throwing her body wildly from one side to the other, never minding how her bonds grew steadily tighter, only trying to upset the chair to one side or the other so they would have to pick her up again before they could eat. Just before she could manage the trick, Eddie grabbed her and Roland braced the wheels on either sides with rocks. "I'll loosen the ropes a bit if you'll be still," Roland told her.
"Suck shit out my ass, mother."
"I don't understand if that means yes or no." She looked at him, eyes narrowed, suspecting some buried barb of satire in that calm voice. Eddie also wondered, but couldn't tell if there was or not. And after a moment she said sulkily,
"I'll be still. Too damn hungry to kick up much dickens. You boys gonna give me some real food, or you just gonna starve me to death? That's your plan? You too chicken shit to choke me, and I ain't never gonna eat no poison, so that must be your plan. Starve me out. Well, we see show. We gonna see. Show we are."
She offered them her bone-chilling sickle of a grin again. Not long after, she fell asleep. Eddie touched the side of Roland's face. Roland glanced at him, but did not pull away from the touch. "I'm all right."
"Yeah, you're Jim Dandy. Well, I'll tell you what, Jim, we didn't get along very far today."
"I know." There was also the matter of having used the last live shell, but that was knowledge Eddie could do without, at least tonight. Eddie wasn't sick, but he was exhausted, too exhausted for more bad news. "No, he's not sick, not yet. But if he goes too long without rest, gets tired enough, he'll get sick." In a way, Eddie already was. Both of them were. Cold sores had developed at the corners of Eddie's mouth, and there were scaly patches on his skin. The gunslinger could feel his teeth loosening up in their sockets, and the flesh between his toes had begun to crack open and bleed, as had that between his remaining fingers. They were eating, but they were eating the same thing day in and day out. They could go on that way for a time, but in the end they would die as surely as if they had starved. "What we have is shipmate's disease on dry land," Roland thought. "Simple as that. How funny. We need fruit. We need greens." Eddie nodded toward the lady.
She's going to go right on making it tough. Unless the other one inside her comes back.
That would be nice, but we can't count on it, Eddie said. He took a piece of blackened claw and began to scrawl aimless patterns in the dirt.
Any idea how far the next door might be?
Roland shook his head.
I only ask because if the distance between number 2 and number 3 is the same as the distance between number 1 and number 2, we could be in deep shit.
We're in deep shit right now. Neck deep, Eddie agreed moodily.
I just keep wondering how long I can tread water.
Roland clapped him on the shoulder, a gesture of affection so rare it made Eddie blink.
There's one thing that lady doesn't know, he said.
Oh, what's that?
We honk muffas can tread water a long time.
Eddie laughed at that, laughed hard, smothering his laughter against his arm so he wouldn't wake Detta up. He'd had enough of her for one day, please and thank you.
The gunslinger looked at him, smiling.
I'm going to turn in, he said.
Be on my guard. Yeah, I will.
13. Screaming was next. Eddie fell asleep the moment his head touched the bunched bundle of his shirt, and it seemed only 5 minutes later when Detta began screaming. He was awake at once, ready for anything, some king lobster arisen from the deep to take revenge for its slain children, or a horror down from the hills. It seemed he was awake at once, anyway, but the gunslinger was already on his feet, a gun in his left hand. When she saw they were both awake, Detta promptly quit screaming.
"Just thought I'd see a few boys on your toes," she said. "Might be wolves. Looks like it enough country for 'em. Wanted to make sure if I saw me a wolf creeping up, I could get you on your feet in time."
But there was no fear in her eyes. They glinted with mean amusement.
"Christ," Eddie said groggily. The moon was up but barely risen. They had been asleep less than 2 hours.
The gunslinger holstered his gun.
"Don't do it again," he said to the lady in the wheelchair.
"What you gonna do if I do, rape me?"
"If we were going to rape you, you would be one well-raped woman by now," the gunslinger said evenly. "Don't do it again." He lay down again, pulling his blanket over him.
"Christ, dear Christ," Eddie thought. "What a mess this is. What a fucking..."
And that was as far as the thought went, before trailing off into exhausted sleep again, and then she was splintering the air with fresh shrieks, shrieking like a fire bell, and Eddie was up again, his body flaming with adrenaline, hands clenched. And then she was laughing, her voice hoarse and raspy. Eddie glanced up and saw the moon had advanced less than 10 degrees since she had awakened them the first time.
"She means to keep on doing it," he thought wearily. "She means to stay awake and watch us. And when she's sure we're getting down into deep sleep, that place where you recharge, she's going to open her mouth and stop bellowing again. She'll do it and do it and do it until she doesn't have any voice left to bellow with."
Her laughter stopped abruptly. Roland was advancing on her, a dark shape in the moonlight.
"You just stay away from me, gray meat," Detta said,
but there was a quiver of nerves in her voice.
"You ain't going to do nothing to me."
Roland stood before her, and for a moment Eddie was sure, completely sure, that the gunslinger had reached the end of his patience and would simply swat her like a fly. Instead, astoundingly, he dropped to one knee before her, like a suitor about to propose marriage. "Listen," he said, and Eddie could scarcely credit the silky quality of Roland's voice. He could see much the same deep surprise on Detta's face, only there fear was joined to it. "Listen to me, Odetta."
"Who you calling Odetta? That ain't my name."
"Shut up, bitch," the gunslinger said in a growl. And then, reverting to that same silken voice, "If you hear me, and if you can control her at all..."
"Why you talking at me that way? Why you talking like you was talking to somebody else? You quit that honky jive. You just quit it now, you hear me?"
"Keep her shut up. I can gag her, but I don't want to do that. A hard gag is a dangerous business. People choke."
"You quit it, you honky bullshit voodoo mother!"
"Odetta." His voice was a whisper, like the onset of rain. She fell silent, staring at him with huge eyes. Eddie had never in his life seen such hate and fear combined in human eyes. "I don't think this bitch would care if she did die on a hard gag. She wants to die, but maybe even more she wants you to die. But you haven't died, not so far, and I don't think Detta is brand new in your life. She feels too at home in you, so maybe you can hear what I'm saying, and maybe you can keep some control over her, even if you can't come out yet. Don't let her wake us up a third time, Odetta. I don't want to gag her, but if I have to, I will." He got up, left without looking back, rolled himself into his blanket again, and promptly fell asleep. She was still staring at him, eyes wide, nostrils flaring.
"Honky voodoo bullshit," she whispered.
Eddie lay down, but this time it was a long time before sleep came to claim him, in spite of his deep tiredness. He would come to the brink, anticipate her screams, and snap back. 3 hours or so later, with the moon now going the other way, he finally dropped off. Detta did no more screaming that night, either because Roland had frightened her, or because she wanted to conserve her voice for future alarms and excursions, or possibly, just possibly, because Odetta had heard and had exercised the control the gunslinger had asked of her. Eddie slept at last, but awoke sodden and unrefreshed. He looked toward the chair, hoping against hope that it would be Odetta. "Please, God, let it be Odetta this morning. Morning, white bread," Detta said, and grinned her shark-like grin at him.
"Thought you was gonna sleep till noon. You can't be doing nothing like that, can you? We got to bus us some miles here. Ain't that the fact of the matter? Sure. And I think you the one gonna have to do most of the busting, 'cause that other fella, one with the voodoo eyes, he looking more peaky all the time. I declare he do, yes. I don't think he gonna be eating anything much longer. Not even that fancy smoked meat you white bread boys keep for when you done jerking on each other one's little bitty white candles. So let's go, white bread. Daddy don't want to be the one keeping you."
Her lids and her voice both dropped a little. Her eyes peeked at him slyly from their corners.
"Not from starting out, leastways. This gonna be a day you remember, white bread," those sly eyes promised. "This gonna be a day you remember for a long, long time. Show."
14. They made 3 miles that day, maybe a shade under. Detta's chair upset twice. Once she did it herself, working her fingers slowly and unobtrusively over to that handbrake again and yanking it. The second time Eddie did, with no help at all, shoving too hard in one of those goddamn sand traps. That was near the end of the day, and he simply panicked, thinking he just wasn't going to be able to get her out this time, just wasn't. So he gave that one last titanic heave with his quivering arms, and of course it had been much too hard, and over she had gone like Humpty Dumpty falling off his wall, and he and Roland had to labor to get her upright again. They finished the job just in time. The rope under her breasts was now pulled taut across her windpipe. The gunslinger's efficient running slipknot was choking her to death. Her face had gone a funny blue color. She was on the verge of losing consciousness, but still she went on wheezing her nasty laughter.
"Let her be, why don't you?"
Eddie nearly said, as Roland bent quickly forward to loosen the knot.
"Let her choke. I don't know if she wants to do herself, like you said, but I know she wants to do us. So let her go."
Then he remembered Odetta, although their encounter had been so brief and seemed so long ago that memory was growing dim, and moved forward to help. The gunslinger pushed him impatiently away with one hand, only room for one. When the rope was loosened and the lady gasping harshly for breath, which she expelled in gusts of her angry laughter, he turned and looked at Eddie critically. "I think we ought to stop for the night."
"A little further," he was almost pleading. "I can go a little further. Sure, he be one strong buck. He be good for chopping one more row of cotton, and he still have enough left to give your little bitty white candle one fine sucking on tonight."
She still wouldn't eat, and her face was becoming all stark lines and angles. Her eyes glittered in deepening sockets. Roland gave her no notice at all, only studied Eddie closely. At last he nodded. A little way. Not far, but a little way. 20 minutes later, Eddie called it quits himself. His arms felt like jello. They sat in the shadows of the rocks, listening to the gulls, watching the tide come in, waiting for the sun to go down and the lobstrosities to come out and begin their cumbersome cross-examinations. Roland told Eddie, in a voice too low for Detta to hear, that he thought they were out of live shells. Eddie's mouth tightened down a little, but that was all. Roland was pleased. "So you'll have to brain one of them yourself," Roland said. "I'm too weak to handle a rock big enough to do the job and still be sure." Eddie was now the one to do the studying. He had no liking for what he saw. The gunslinger waved his scrutiny away. "Never mind," he said. "Never mind, Eddie. What is, is." "Ka," Eddie said. The gunslinger nodded and smiled faintly. "Ka." "Kaka," Eddie said. And they looked at each other and both laughed. Roland looked startled and perhaps even a little afraid of the rusty sound emerging from his mouth. His laughter did not last long. When it had stopped, he looked distant and melancholy.
"That laughing mean you finally managed to jerk each other off?"
Detta cried over at them in her hoarse, failing voice.
"When you gonna get down to the poking? That's what I want to see, that poking."
15. Eddie made the kill. Detta refused to eat, as before. Eddie ate half a piece so she could see, then offered her the other half.
"No, sir," she said, eyes sparking at him. "No, sir. You done put the poison in t'other end. When you trying to give me?"
Without saying anything, Eddie took the rest of the piece, put it in his mouth, chewed, swallowed.
"Don't mean a thing," Detta said sulkily. "Leave me alone, gray meat."
Eddie wouldn't. He brought her another piece.
"You tear it in half. Give me whichever you want. I'll eat it, then you eat the rest."
"Ain't falling for none of your honky tricks, Miss Charlie. Get away from me is what I said, and get away from me is what I meant."
16. She did not scream in the night, but she was still there the next morning. 17. That day they made only 2 miles, although Detta made no effort to upset her chair. Eddie thought she might be growing too weak for acts of attempted sabotage. Or perhaps she had seen there was really no need for them. 3 fatal factors were drawing inexorably together. Eddie's weariness, the terrain, which after endless days of sameness was finally beginning to change, and Roland's deteriorating condition. There were less sand traps, but that was cold comfort. The ground was becoming grainier, more and more like cheap and unprofitable soil, and less like sand. In places, bunches of weeds grew, looking almost ashamed to be there. And there were so many large rocks now, jutting from this odd combination of sand and soil, that Eddie found himself detouring around them, as he had previously tried to detour the lady's chair around the sand traps. And soon enough, he saw there would be no beach left at all. The hills, brown and cheerless things, were drawing steadily closer. Eddie could see the ravines which curled between them, looking like chops made by an awkward giant wielding a blunt cleaver. That night, before falling asleep, he heard what sounded like a very large cat squalling far up in one of them. The beach had seemed endless, but he was coming to realize it had an end after all. Somewhere up ahead, those hills were simply going to squeeze it out of existence. The eroded hills would march down to the sea and then into it, where they might become first a cape or peninsula of sorts, and then a series of archipelagos. That worried him, but Roland's condition worried him more. This time the gunslinger seemed not so much to be burning as fading, losing himself, becoming transparent. The red lines had appeared again, marching relentlessly up the underside of his right arm toward the elbow. For the last 2 days, Eddie had looked constantly ahead, squinting into the distance, hoping to see the door, the magic door. For the last 2 days, he had waited for Odetta to reappear. Neither had appeared. Before falling asleep that night, two terrible thoughts came to him, like some joke with a double punchline. What if there was no door? What if Odetta Holmes was dead? 18.
Rise and shine, mofa!
Detta screeched him out of unconsciousness.
I think it'd just be you and me now, honey child. Think your friend done finally passed on. I think your friend be poking the devil down in hell.
Eddie looked at the rolled, huddled shape of Roland, and for one terrible moment he thought the bitch was right. Then the gunslinger stirred, moaned furrily, and pawed himself into a sitting position.
Well, looky here.
Detta had screamed so much that now there were moments when her voice disappeared almost entirely, becoming no more than a weird whisper, like winter wind under a door.
I thought you was dead, Mr. Man.
Roland was getting slowly to his feet. He still looked to Eddie like a man using the rungs of an invisible ladder to make it. Eddie felt an angry sort of pity, and this was a familiar emotion, oddly nostalgic. After a moment, he understood. It was like when he and Henry used to watch the fights on TV, and one fighter would hurt the other, hurt him terribly, again and again. And the crowd would be screaming for blood, and Henry would be screaming for blood. But Eddie only sat there, feeling that angry pity, that dumb disgust. He'd sat there sending thought waves at the referee. Stop it, man! Are you fucking blind? He's dying out there! Dying! Stop the fucking fight! There was no way to stop this one. Roland looked at her from his haunted, feverish eyes. A lot of people have thought that, Detta. He looked at Eddie. You ready? Yeah, I guess so. Are you? Yes. Can you? Yes. They went on. Around 10 o'clock, Detta began rubbing her temples with her fingers.
Stop, she said. I feel sick. Feel like I'm gonna throw up.
Probably that big meal you ate last night, Eddie said, and went on pushing. You should have skipped dessert. I told you that chocolate layer cake was heavy.
I'll go throw up.
Stop, Eddie, the gunslinger said. Eddie stopped. The woman in the chair suddenly twisted galvanically, as if an electric shock had run through her. Her eyes popped wide open, glaring at nothing.
I broke your plate, you stinking old blue lady, she screamed. I broke it and I'm fucking glad I did.
She suddenly slumped forward in her chair. If not for the rope, she would have fallen out of it.
Christ, she's dead. She's had a stroke and she's dead, Eddie thought.
He started around the chair, remembered how sly and tricksy she could be, and stopped as suddenly as he had started. He looked at Roland. Roland looked back at him evenly, his eyes giving away not a thing. Then she moaned. Her eyes opened. Her eyes. Odetta's eyes.
Dear God, I've fainted again, haven't I? She said. I'm sorry you had to tie me in. My stupid legs. I think I could sit up a little if you...
That was when Roland's own legs slowly came unhinged, and he swooned, some 30 miles south of the place where the Western Seas beach came to an end. Reshuffle. 1. To Eddie Dean, he and the lady no longer seemed to be trudging or even walking up what remained of the beach. They seemed to be flying. Odetta Holmes still neither liked nor trusted Roland, that was clear. But she recognized how desperate his condition had become and responded to that. Now, instead of pushing a dead clump of steel and rubber to which a human body just happened to be attached, Eddie felt almost as if he were pushing a glider.
Go with her,
Before I was watching out for you, and that was important. Now I'll only slow you down.
He came to realize how right the gunslinger was almost at once. Eddie pushed the chair. Odetta pumped it. One of the gunslinger's revolvers was stuck in the waistband of Eddie's pants.
Do you remember when I told you to be on your guard and you weren't?
Yes. I'm telling you again. Be on your guard. Every moment. If her other comes back, don't wait even a second. Brain her.
What if I kill her?
Then it's the end. But if she kills you, that's the end, too. And if she comes back, she'll try. She'll try. Eddie hadn't wanted to leave him. It wasn't just that cat scream in the night, although he kept thinking about it. It was simply that Roland had become his only touchstone in this world. He and Odetta didn't belong here. Still, he realized that the gunslinger had been right.
"Do you want to rest?" he asked Odetta.
"There's more food, a little."
"Not yet," she answered, although her voice sounded tired.
"Soon."
"All right, but at least stop pumping. You're weak. Your stomach, you know."
"All right." She turned, her face gleaming with sweat, and favored him with a smile that both weakened and strengthened him. He would have died for such a smile, and thought he would if circumstances demanded. He hoped to Christ circumstances wouldn't, but it certainly wasn't out of the question. Time had become something so crucial it screamed. She put her hands in her lap, and he went on pushing. The tracks the chair left behind were now dimmer. The beach had become steadily firmer, but it was also littered with rubble that could cause an accident. You wouldn't have to help one happen at the speed they were going. A really bad accident might hurt Odetta, and that would be bad. Such an accident could also wreck the chair, and that would be bad for them and probably worse for the gunslinger, who would almost surely die alone. And if Roland died, they would be trapped in this world forever. With Roland too sick and weak to walk, Eddie had been forced to face one simple fact. There were three people here, and two of them were cripples. So what hope, what chance was there? The chair. The chair was the hope, the whole hope, and nothing but the hope. So help them, God. 2. The gunslinger had regained consciousness shortly after Eddie dragged him into the shade of a rock outcropping. His face, where it was not ashy, was a hectic red. His chest rose and fell rapidly. His right arm was a network of twisting red lines.
"Feed her," he croaked at Eddie. "You never mind me. I'll be all right. Feed her. She'll eat now, I think, and you'll need her strength."
"Roland, what if she's just pretending to be?" The gunslinger gestured impatiently.
"She's not pretending to be anything, except alone in her body. I know it, and you do too. It's in her face. Feed her for the sake of your father, and while she eats, come back to me. Every minute counts now. Every second."
Eddie got up, and the gunslinger pulled him back with his left hand. Sick or not, his strength was still there.
"And say nothing about the other. Whatever she tells you, however she explains, don't contradict her."
"Why?"
"I don't know. I just know it's wrong. Now do as I say, and don't waste any more time."
Odetta had been sitting in her chair, looking out at the sea with an expression of mild and bemused amazement. When Eddie offered her the chunks of lobster left over from the previous night, she smiled ruefully.
"I would if I could," she said, "but you know what happens."
Eddie, who had no idea what she was talking about, could only shrug and say,
"It wouldn't hurt to try again, Odetta. You need to eat, you know. We've got to go as fast as we can."
She laughed a little and touched his hand. He felt something like an electric charge jump from her to him. And it was her, Odetta. He knew it as well as Roland did.
"I love you, Eddie. You have tried so hard, been so patient. So has he."
She nodded toward the place where the gunslinger lay propped against the rocks, watching.
"But he is a hard man to love."
"Yeah, don't I know it.
I'll try one more time. For you."
She smiled, and he felt all the world move for her, because of her.
and he thought, "Please, God, I have never had much, so please don't take her away from me again. Please."
She took the chunks of lobster meat, wrinkled her nose in a rueful, comic expression, and looked up at him.
"Must I?"
"Just give it a shot," he said.
"I never ate scallops again," she said.
"Pardon?"
"I thought I told you."
"You might have," he said, and gave a little nervous laugh. What the gunslinger had said about not letting her know about the other loomed very large inside his mind just then.
"We had them for dinner one night when I was 10 or 11. I hated the way they tasted, like little rubber balls, and later I vomited them up. I never ate them again. But," she sighed, "as you say, I'll give it a shot."
She put a piece in her mouth like a child taking a spoonful of medicine she knows will taste nasty. She chewed slowly at first, then more rapidly. She swallowed, took another piece, chewed, swallowed, another. Now she was nearly wolfing it.
"Oh, slow down," Eddie said. "It must be another kind. That's it, of course it is."
She looked at Eddie, shiningly. "We've moved further up the beach, and the species has changed. I'm no longer allergic, it seems. It doesn't taste nasty like it did before. And I did try to keep it down, didn't I?" She looked at him nakedly.
"I tried very hard."
"Yeah." To himself, he sounded like a radio broadcasting a very distant signal.
"She thinks she's been eating every day and then upchucking everything. She thinks that's why she's so weak. Christ almighty."
"Yeah, you tried like hell."
"It tastes," these words were hard to pick up because her mouth was full, "it tastes so good."
She laughed. The sound was delicate and lovely.
"It's going to stay down. I'm going to take nourishment. I know it. I feel it."
"Just don't overdo it," he cautioned, and gave her one of the water skins. "You're not used to it. All that..." He swallowed, and there was an audible to him at least, click in his throat.
"All that throwing up." "Yes, yes."
"I need to talk to Roland for a few minutes."
"All right."
But before he could go, she grasped his hand again.
"Thank you, Eddie. Thank you for being so patient. And thank him."
She paused gravely.
"Thank him, and don't tell him that he scares me."
"I won't," Eddie had said, and went back to the gunslinger. 3. Even when she wasn't pushing, Odetta was a help. She navigated with the prescience of a woman who has spent a long time weaving a wheelchair through a world that would not acknowledge handicapped people such as she for years to come.
"Left," she'd call, and Eddie would gee to the left, gliding past a rock, snarling out of the pasty grit like a decayed fang. On his own, he might have seen it, or maybe not.
"Right," she called, and Eddie hawed right, barely missing one of the increasingly rare sand traps. They finally stopped, and Eddie lay down, breathing hard.
"Sleep," Odetta said. "An hour. I'll wake you."
Eddie looked at her.
"I'm not lying. I observed your friend's condition, Eddie. He's not exactly my friend, you know, and I know how important time is. I won't let you sleep longer than an hour out of a misguided sense of mercy. I can tell the sun quite well. You won't do that man any good by wearing yourself out, will you?"
"No," he said, thinking, "but you don't understand. If I sleep and Detta Walker comes back..."
"Sleep, Eddie," she said.
And since Eddie was too weary and too much in love to do other than trust her, he did. He slept, and she woke him when she said she would, and she was still Odetta, and they went on, and now she was pumping again, helping. They raced up the diminishing beach toward the door Eddie kept frantically looking for, and kept not seeing. 4. When he left Odetta eating her first meal in days and went back to the gunslinger, Roland seemed a little better.
"Hunker down," he said to Eddie.
Eddie hunkered. "Leave me the skin that's half full, all I need. Take her to the door."
"What if I don't..."
"Find it? You'll find it. The first two were there, this one will be too. If you get there before sundown tonight, wait for dark, and then kill double. You'll need to leave her food and make sure she's sheltered as well as she can be. If you don't reach it tonight, kill triple. Here." He handed over one of his guns. Eddie took it with respect, surprised, as before, by how heavy it was. I thought the shells were all losers. Probably are. But I've loaded with the ones I believe were wetted least. 3 from the buckle side of the left belt, 3 from the buckle side of the right. 1 may fire, 2 if you're lucky. Don't try them on the crawlies. His eyes considered Eddie briefly. There may be other things out there. You heard it too, didn't you? If you mean something yowling in the hills, yes. If you mean the bugger man, as your eyes say, no. I heard a wildcat in the brakes, that's all. Maybe with a voice 4 times the size of its body. It may be nothing you can't drive off with a stick. But there's her to think about. If her other comes back, you may have to... I won't kill her, if that's what you're thinking. You may have to wing her. You understand? Eddie gave a reluctant nod. Goddamn shells probably wouldn't fire anyway, so there was no sense getting his panties in a bunch about it. When you get to the door, leave her. Shelter her as well as you can, and come back to me with the chair. And the gun? The gunslinger's eyes blazed so brightly that Eddie snapped his head back as if Roland had thrust a flaming torch in his face. Gods, yes! Leave her with a loaded gun when her other might come back at any time? Are you insane? The shells! Fuck the shells! The gunslinger cried, and a freak drop in the wind allowed the words to carry. Odetta turned her head, looked at them for a long moment, then looked back toward the sea. Leave it with her not! Eddie kept his voice low in case the wind should drop again. What if something comes down from the brakes while I'm on my way back here? Some kind of cat 4 times bigger than its voice instead of the other way around. Something you can't drive off with a stick. Give her a pile of stones, the gunslinger said. Stones? Jesus wept! Man, you are such a fucking shit! I am thinking, the gunslinger said, something you seem unable to do. I gave you the gun so you could protect her from the sort of danger you're talking about for half of the trip you must make. Would it please you if I took the gun back? Then perhaps you could die for her. Would that please you? Very romantic. Except then, instead of just her, all 3 of us would go down. Very logical. You're still a fucking shit, however. Go or stay. Stop calling me names. You forgot something, Eddie said furiously. What was that? You forgot to tell me to grow up. That's what Henry always used to say. Oh, grow up, kid. The gunslinger had smiled, a weary, oddly beautiful smile. I think you have grown up. Will you go or stay?
I'll go, Eddie said. What are you going to eat? She scoffed the leftovers.
The fucking shit will find a way. The fucking shit has been finding one for years. Eddie looked away. I guess I'm sorry I called you that, Roland. It's been... He laughed suddenly, shrilly. It's been a very trying day. Roland smiled again. Yes, he said, it has. 5. They made the best time of the entire trek that day, but there was still no door in sight when the sun began to spill its gold track across the ocean. Although she told him she was perfectly capable of going on for another 30 minutes, he called a halt and helped her out of the chair. He carried her to an even patch of ground that looked fairly smooth, got the cushions from the back of the chair and the seat, and eased them under her.
Lord, it feels so good to stretch out, she sighed.
But, her brow clouded, I keep thinking of that man back there, Roland, all by himself, and I can't really enjoy it.
Eddie, who is he? What is he?
And almost as an afterthought, and why does he shout so much? Just his nature, I guess, Eddie said, and abruptly went off to gather rocks. Roland hardly ever shouted. He guessed some of it was this morning, fuck the shells, but that the rest of it was false memory, the time she thought she had been Odetta. He killed triple, as the gunslinger had instructed, and was so intent on the last that he skipped back from a 4th which had been closing in on his right with only an instant to spare. He saw the way its claws clicked on the empty place which had been occupied by his foot and leg a moment before, and thought of the gunslinger's missing fingers. He cooked over a dry wood fire. The encroaching hills and increasing vegetation made the search for good fuel quicker and easier, that was one thing. while the last of the daylight faded from the western sky.